to another episode of Yankees and Gravy. Thank you again for tuning in. I appreciate everybody who's out there listening. Top of the show, give a couple of plugs. I hope that you guys would be kind enough to maybe email me. Like I said from the beginning, I'm trying to get this thing interactive as possible. It is at Yankees and Gravy on Twitter. So anything on Twitter, just on Twitter, search Yankees and Gravy. If you could, you could email me directly at yankeesandgravy@gmail.com. And you can also find me on Facebook. It's Yankee Gravy, not Yankees and Gravy on Facebook yet, but Yankee Gravy. iTunes is the main one. That's the most easiest and most convenient way for you guys to basically get on there and download and subscribe to. You have to go to the podcast app. Once you go on iTunes, go to the App Store, get the podcast app, and then once you download that app, you can search Yankees and Gravy, and you can basically be alerted every time a new episode comes out, which, like we said, a couple times a week we're shooting for here. This is Yankees and Gravy. As I said, it is the only Yankee multi-episode a week podcast that deals with just kind of offbeat, irreverent reactions, opinions, some news, some off-topic stuff, and then we have the gravy part where we kind of go off and go on a little tangent, just covering some stuff that has nothing to do with anything really sometimes, but we're just having some fun out here. As we say before, we are not. I am not. I say we. I don't know why I keep saying we. Because when you say I guess it's just a little. You feel like you're sounding a little self-centered. But I am not a professional broadcaster. Shocker to the world. But I am having fun doing this, and it is a nice little outlet. I was looking for a consistent Yankee podcast. Couldn't find one. So I decided to make one. Loving the Yankees this year. Loving watching them. It's a little tough. You know, we're getting more comfortable doing this every week. I want to give a shout-out to somebody. I'm going to give you his name. His name is Tom. He's from the UK. He alerted me to another Yankee podcast. Now, it's only once a week, and this is a very different show than mine. And what I did say, and don't think I'm an asshole for saying this, but I said in the beginning that I was not going to, as a policy, promote any other podcast. At least that's where I was going now. Watch, I'll land somebody huge like a Mark Feinstein, however the hell you say his name, who's got a great podcast. See, I just did it again. I promoted another one. But if I ever had him on the show and a condition to which he would join the podcast would be we have to plug his podcast, I probably would. But here's my feeling on it, and this is just from, a little bit. I'm one of those little borderline nerds. I'm not a full-on nerd. At least I don't think so. But, when I'm on a commute, when I'm going to bed, when I'm kind of like have some downtime, I don't like to be idle. I like to be either learning or being like, kind of like I'm really into kind of, ideas and listening to people's opinions on things, digesting them, and it just kind of fascinates me, people's point of view. I get interested in those types of things. So whether it's comedy, whether it's sports, whether it's whatever, I have a certain amount of time in which I commute, a certain amount of time where I'm kind of passing out, or if I'm traveling for business and I listen to podcasts. And I have my top go-tos. And, I'll say one, Bill Burr. Bill Burr is my one can't miss. The Monday morning podcast, and now he does the Thursday Just Checking In on Your podcast. Bill Burr is one of the most naturally funny guys you're going to hear. And that's, the top of the list. Do I have a Bill Burr in the tank? And so I listen to Bill Burr, and I listen to a bunch. But as I don't listen more. As I find other ones, All that happens is other people drop off. And I swear this actually happened. I listened to one podcast, and I was listening to it fairly religiously, and he had a guy on as a guest who had his own podcast. I checked that podcast out. That podcast was better than the one I was originally listening to. Oh, well, the other guy gets cut. So that's going to be, as of now, you're dealing with someone who has no experience with this crap. So what I'm saying is I'm not necessarily going to be in the mood to be plugging podcasts. I say all that to say this, however, I say every week that I don't know another Yankee podcast like this, because I do search. I search iTunes, Yankee podcast. I guess if you search it, it comes up under different names. If it's Yankees, if it's called something else, and I guess a lot of people call it different things because of legalities or copyrights or MLB or franchise laws or whatever. But This guy, Tom, from the UK. Tom, shout out to you. I'm going to read you a letter at the end of the show, but he put me on to Bronx Pinstripes, a group of guys. I guess it started out as mainly a website where they would kind of blog and write articles. Big, big Yankee fans these guys are. And I'll give them a plug to whoever is listening to this. They have a good podcast. I listened to it. It's, you could tell these guys are not the most polished broadcasters by any stretch. You know, but their passion does come through. You could tell they're inexperienced, and that's kind of what I'm doing. Now, it's different. I'm different than them. These guys basically watch every pitch of every game for the most part, and they will once a week analyze all the games. They also do some off-topic stuff, you know, some idea sharing and some opinions and stuff. And there's a bunch of them. There's only me. I'm going solo here. My thing is, what I'm trying to do is, you know, I don't know if you are listening, you know, and I'm not knocking them because I'm done. I'm in. They're on my rotation now. I'll be listening to those guys. And I thank you, Tom, for letting me, you know, letting me in on what those guys are doing over there at Bronx Pinstripes. They sound good, but what the difference is they're you know, don't take offense to this fellas over at Bronx Pinstripes, but those guys are if I'm half nerd, those guys are full on nerds, and nowadays I think that's more of a compliment than anything else. They're really engrossed in what they do. My thing is, I'm not going to necessarily wait 7 days and then talk about, you know, go through each game that, you know, that happened, and the pitch by pitch from, you know, games that happened 2, 3, 4, 5 days ago. I'm going to basically stay relevant. I'm going to try to, maybe I don't have as long of a podcast as them, but I'm going to try to do 2 or 3 a week. This week was a little rough, but I'm going to try to stay consistent, and I'm going to stay with stuff that's on topic. These guys are well-educated guys. They know the game in and out. They know lineups top to bottom. I'm probably going to go ahead and admit that I am not on the level, you know, as far as, like, if you want to talk about on the beat, you know what I mean? Move by move, as it comes out, addition, subtraction. You know who's coming up, who's going down. The lefty, everything. You know who's in, who's who. How stacked is AAA? How stacked is AA? I think I'll do pretty well with that stuff. And when it's relevant to, you know, what we're talking about, I'm going to cover it. My goal is to kind of be a little bit wacky, a little bit kind of offbeat, and kind of give you like a little bit more of like a soulful podcast, and give you some, you know, insider Yankee stuff, because I think I'm a little, I'm older than those guys too, so I go back a little bit more. Then I got all my Yankee stories and my stuff from my grandfather, so he goes back way back and listening to his stories, and I'm more like maybe like the romantic angle, you know what I mean, and more the I don't know what to say. I'm just saying I think those guys do a great job. But what I'm trying to say ultimately is that there's room for all of us out there. And I heard in the last episode they said that they got picked up by Yes, and then I went back and listened to their first episode, and you know, I heard one of them go, and I don't know the names yet. I'm not familiar with them. I heard one of them say, "Yeah, Girardi, you know Girardi's gonna do some dumb shit." You have to wonder if they're partners with Yes, or the Yankees right now. You're gonna have to wonder if they're getting away with that, because Michael K can't get away with that, saying that stuff. I don't know, but I guess these guys are a little more under the radar, no matter what you think or say. But again, that is Bronx Pinstripes, and I would definitely check them out. It's very in depth. It's good stuff. They did a thing. I was listening today. I went to some back episodes talking about, and that's something I would kind of come up with it. And I liked it. They did you know, what would be your walk up music, and that was pretty funny. Hold on. All right, let's get into some stuff right now. Yankees and gravy. Today it is June 23rd, 2015. Here we go again, guys, on the wild ride. We talked about it several times, how this team seems to just not want to stay consistent at all. It wants to be consistent seemingly in 7, 8, 9 game pops, and we're still kind of on that ride. Right now, unfortunately, see, I was all pumped up. I know we took a beating yesterday. Tanaka did, unfortunately, but I was excited about doing a podcast tonight and getting on and, you know, we catching the lowly Phillies right now. We're only a game out, and we're still only a game out, which is great. But, you know, it's a little bit more of like a, now we're on, and we saw what happened tonight. And this is a concern. You got a Phillies team comes in losing 12 straight road games. Okay, they have, coming into last night, only 7 total road wins. What the hell is going on here? This team, we couldn't get him out. I don't know what the deal is with Pineda, and I don't know what the deal is with Tanaka yesterday. I saw an article that said, oh, the silver lining. And after it, because you see the big number, he couldn't pitch, he couldn't get anybody out. And then it says, silver lining, I'm looking for what? Well, who did what? What good news is there about this? And it's basically Tanaka wasn't hurt after the game. He didn't feel pain. First of all, who knows if that's true? I don't know why these injuries are like the freaking Illuminati. It's some secret society, text with his neck, whatever the hell's going on. Nobody wants to say anything. But, you know, these are not like it's ball players getting hurt. This is not to be treated with the, you know, as delicate as, you know, matters of national security here, but whatever. So what do you got here? I don't understand why our two aces back-to-back, who seem to be perfectly healthy, can give up 23 runs between them in two games. It's very disturbing. To the Phillies, too. One of them's to the Phillies. Tigers are, you know, Tigers will hit you. You know, that's, you know, you can get cold against the Tigers. And you're right off the Tanaka thing. He's been pitching well, whatever. And then the next day, Pineda comes out and just puts up a lackluster effort like that. That's concerning. That's 2 days in a row. And what does that do? Those are not 4-3 games, guys. Those are not 2-1 games. Those are not 5-1 games. These are drubbings. These guys are getting creamed, man. And, you know, it seems like, I don't know, this is how I said this before. This is how I feel about Girardi. When I watch him manage the bullpen, he drives me nuts. And I think he overmanages, puts people in, pulls people out. He's got that freaking stupid binder that he, you know, treats like it's the Bible. But when it's all said and done, I usually kind of admit that I was probably wrong and Girardi did the right thing. And he's proven that over and over again. But what he's doing now, I don't know. He's like managing he's using the AAA Scranton as his bench. It's like he's bringing people up on a daily basis, and I don't know. Who knows? Girardi's made a lot of moves that I've raised my eyebrows about, and then he's proven to be right. But I don't know. It seems like a merry-go-round. These guys, what's going on in this clubhouse? That number 65 sits up there, and the minute you wear 65, something bad happens to you, and you get sent back down. I mean, it's like they leave that jersey up there, and all right, who's 65 today? The guy who just got here, and he wears 65, and then you know what? He's gone the next day. I'm worried about where we're headed, too. You know, we talked about Pineda, 8 runs, 3 1/3 innings, no strikeouts. I don't know when the hell that's happened last, where he's gotten no strikeouts in the whole game. Coming off a gem where he was flirting with a no-hitter, which is coming off a complete clunker. What's Pineda doing? He's like a microcosm of the team he plays for. You can't tell. He's either dominant or he's getting killed. It's feast or famine. This team is flat out strange. How do you figure this team? And you know, we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks, and you're kind of not freaking out about it when it happens initially, but now it's like this seems to be just the normal way this team is going to roll. And I still feel the same way as far as where they'll end up, but I guess it's just a wacky, wacky path in which they'll take to get there. And, you know, they're performing all in all, maybe I would say a little slightly better than I thought they would. But look where we are right now. Are we headed down that road? Or is this the time of year where we're looking into the abyss and we have to, I guess, accept the fact that this isn't up there? I'm not going to say old team, but it's an up there team. And these injuries are going to start happening. The ones that didn't look, last year was right out of the gate. Last year, we lost freaking 4 of our 5 starting pitchers within the first couple of months of the season, and it was like, all right, we're done. You know what? Let's just celebrate freaking Jeter and chalk it up to next year. Maybe. I wasn't even sure anything would happen this year because they didn't make any moves. They didn't do anything. I mean, they made some moves. I'm not going to say they didn't make moves. That's being short. That's selling them short. But as far as everybody going into this year, everybody was pretty much on the same page that, wow, you know, these Yankees are not necessarily, they're underdogs in a way. And I said it for a couple years. I don't know why. I just heard it a couple years. And every time somebody would say that this year, I was like, this hasn't been like a team that you're afraid of for a couple of years now. But either way, so here we are. Look where we're headed. Ellsbury is hurt. Sure. He's got a knee, sprained knee, and he doesn't. You know, he has the history. He has the injury history, and he's not, from what people say, a particularly quick healer. I don't know if that's a mental thing, and he's not going to play until he's absolutely ready, or he just physically doesn't heal as quick as other people. But who knows what right now. They didn't say it was a setback, but they did say when he was running, they shut him down completely for a couple of days because he did feel tightness in his knee. Nobody will know. I guess doctors would know, but it sounds like nobody really would know if it's something that he should – it's expected pain and soreness that he should work through, or it's something that could lead to something that if he pushes, he could injure it more. I don't know. But Ellsbury, like I said, all my Boston friends – would laugh at me, congratulate me. Congratulations, Tommy. You guys just acquired the Pillsbury Doughboy, the Ellsbury Doughboy. That's that. Miller, hopefully he gets back soon. And now you got Tex. My buddy Brendan, as we talked about, always is like, you know, Tex, it's going to happen to Tex. At some point, Tex is going to take one off the freaking wrist, get hit in the head, do something, pull a hamstring, something. And I don't know what this neck thing is. I don't get with he had a cortisone shot yesterday, and he had an arm MRI, stiff freaking neck. I don't know if it was an injury. I don't know what happened. Well, I guess maybe it happened on that slide when he went in head first and took out the third baseman. I forgot who it was, but either way, he's on the shelf right now. They say he's probably not going to play till at least Wednesday. So, well, that's just today and yesterday and tonight. I don't understand when Girardi gives a report. He has an MRI. He said, oh, no, the MRI is no problem. Everything looked pretty good on the MRI. What does that mean? What does pretty good mean? Can you tell us exactly? It's like, again, like with the CIA thing, like you – these guys are baseball players. They're either going to play or not. We're going to find out eventually. You don't have to hide this stuff from us. I really don't understand it. Hold on. Sorry, talking a lot. I have to keep sipping on the water over here. A-Rod. A-Rod gets his 3,000th hit. We haven't spoken since that. And I know what you're talking about with A-Rod, one of the most polarizing figures in baseball. What do you guys think? I'd love to hear from you guys. YankeesandGravy@gmail.com. I know, you know, it's crazy because I listen to a lot of sports talk and I listen to a lot of people and opinions and this and that. And the guy was the devil. Who are you kidding? Everybody, the guy was the devil. People were saying, let's get rid of him. People were saying he's going to suck anyway. He can't contribute. I have to say, I would, you know, all the people that told me, what are you defending this guy for? What do you think? You think this guy's good? You think this guy's good for the game? You think this? I'm not, no, he wasn't. What he did was wrong. But it's tough. Everybody freaking makes mistakes. And he made big mistakes. And I don't agree or condone what he did. And the reality is, for most of his career, he was probably an asshole. I tend to, like I said, when people start piling on and, you know, this guy is just universally detested by everybody, media, fans, every ballpark, booed, every broadcaster, booed, just raking up the muck around every corner about this guy. I just, whatever it is in me, I have a natural tendency to kind of try to side with that. You know, you never want to call A-Rod an underdog, but as far as in the court of public opinion, he was hated. He was the underdog. He was the guy that got booed at every stadium. Even lifelong New York Yankee fans still hate this guy. But a large contingency of them were booing in the beginning and are happy with him now. He did his time. That's what you hear. He did his time. You're right. He did his time. And, you know, now he's back. Go away, Rod. And I listen to all these people that are saying this, and I'm like, you know what? They started together. You're probably right. The guy probably is an asshole. When he was on Francesa, and he was like, Mike, I never took steroids. I don't know. I don't know what world you live in where you can. I'm not going to tell you I never lied to anybody before. But I could tell you this. I'm not going to go put it on any big displays and, like, go to national TV and make these, you know, crazy, claims that I'm telling the truth. No, just shut the hell up. The guy was lying, and he had to apologize, all that stuff. But you know what? The guy's out there now. He's having fun. He's doing what he loves. And really, let's talk about the major league base, his teammates and the opposing players. Well, did you guys see Cabrera? Miguel Cabrera run out to him and jump on top of him and give him a hug at the end of that game and just congratulate the shit out of him. And Cabrera was asked, you know, don't you? What do you think about all the people that say all these bad things about him, that he's not deserving of all this, you know, praise? And Cabrera said very simply in one sentence, "They don't know him. They don't know the man." And if you see Girardi, you knew Girardi. I said it 2 years ago. Girardi had to say it after the game because everything was still hot and heavy. But he had to say, I would have protected A-Rod. I would have protected anybody. But when that pitcher on the Red Sox, I forgot his freaking name. That's how good he was. But when he threw at A-Rod three times and Girardi was out there literally calling the guy a pussy, our manager, our freaking captain, Joe Girardi was out there. It pissed him off. You know what? And you saw the big hug they had. They talked about the toast that they had after the game. And you listen to the players. Go back to the podcast. I don't know which one it was. I think it was freaking Iron Mike. I don't know one of them. I just put it out there. Like, in the middle of everybody talking all the shit in the world about this guy, I said, you watch. You're dealing with the leader of the team in every way. The longest tenured, one of the best current players, one of the most likable guys in the clubhouse, and like it or not, baseball, statistically one of the greatest baseball players ever to walk the face of the earth in Alex Rodriguez. So is the guy an asshole? Yes, probably for most of his career. Is he deserving of a lot of the shit that he's getting? Yes, I'm not going to say he doesn't, but I'm also saying that I think he deserves all of this praise. And as far as the Yankees go, knock it the fuck off. He's on your team. He's your guy. If you're going to do anything this freaking year, I'm sorry, I'm getting mad. If you're going to do anything this year, though, you're going to need A-Rod, and it's going to be because of him producing the way he is right now that you're going to get somewhere. So you know what? If you don't like it, get rid of the guy and let somebody pick him up. Obviously, you're going to have to pay a big portion of the contract, but you know, let's not have it be contemptuous. It's ridiculous. You know, let's bury the hatchet over. Let's let it be over, and that's it. How about this guy who caught the ball? That's hysterical. So I didn't go too much into it, but this guy's a professional ball hawk. Is that the truth? This guy writes blogs and books on how to be in the right place and catch home runs. If that's the case, man, this guy's about to sell a whole lot more books. Because if this guy has been writing books on how to, because I would look at that, some guy who says, you know, buy my book, I could teach you how to catch home runs in the NFL. I'd be like, what the hell will they freaking think of next? What kind of cockamamie money freaking, you know, get rich quick scheme is this guy writing this book to say he can tell you how to be in the right place and right time to catch home runs? And look what happens. He freaking catches A-Rod's 3,000th hit. And I mean, just enough. That's the third guy to get a 3,000th hit as a home run. And that's A-Rod, Wade Boggs, and Derek Jeter. All three were Yankees at one time. Unfortunately, Wade Boggs was a member of the Devil Rays when he did it. But they were all Yankees at one time, and two of them did it as a Yankee. So pretty crazy. Every once in a while, we still get some of the magic and the ghosts from across the street sneak over and, you know, bless us a little bit every once in a while. Man, I miss that freaking building. That freaking thing they got up now, I can't stand it. It's a beautiful, beautiful building, a beautiful facility, but it's not a freaking ballpark. Are you kidding me? Like, it's a museum. You've heard me get into that. I'm not going to go into it again, but, you know, it's just a, you know, $1.5 billion facility that is designed to separate you from your money at every freaking corner and to focus on everything else besides baseball. It bothers me, but listen. It's the Yankees, man. You take the good with the bad. Come on, let's stay positive, Tommy. Let's go. So what else do we got here? So the guy who caught the ball. what a savvy dude this is, huh? I caught the ball. I don't want to make any rash decisions about it. You know, I want to think about what's right. I want to listen to some offers. I want to, you know, sleep on it. I don't want to make any. I'm like, damn, this guy's like a real, you know, real businessman. So he's gonna do the sensible thing. He's gonna take the, of course, the security guards have probably made an offer out there. He probably had something thrown at him. You know, probably wasn't a huge offer, probably wasn't anything, but the guy was basically offered something, and he said, nah, I think I'll hold on to this, and I'll at least hold on to it. And he's basically you know, kidnapped the ball and hijacking A-Rod's $3,000. I would tell this guy to screw it. What does A-Rod need that freaking ball for? You know what I mean? A-Rod's got MVP trophies. He's got a World Series ring. He's got this. He's got that. He's probably got a bunch of balls from a bunch of different milestones, wherever. You know what? If this asshole wants to just keep the freaking – I wouldn't give him the satisfaction of, you know, hounding him for it and giving him, you know, thousands of dollars for it. I was like, you know what, buddy? Enjoy the ball. Hopefully, you know, maybe you sell it. Maybe you put it towards good use, you know. I mean, the one aspect he did say was he did involve talking about a charity, which, good for him. You can't say anything bad about that. It's just a new era, you know what I mean? And A-Rod had a funny line, you know, when it was like, you know, this guy's holding the ball. What is he doing with it? He's weighing his options. He doesn't know if you're ever going to get it. He's going to see what he's going to take other offers. A-Rod's like, where's Jeter's guy? Why couldn't he get Jeter's guy? And obviously, the story was that Jeter's guy was just like, you know what? You deserve this ball. Here's the ball. This guy's being a little bit more of a shark, so whatever. That's, I guess, you know, I don't know. It's America, whatever. It's a capitalist society, and that's what, you know, we love that. And this guy is taking advantage. Do that somewhere in some other country. You'll have three security guards. You won't make it out of the freaking building with that ball. They'll hang you upside down and shake that ball out of your pocket. Try that in freaking, you know, Russia or somewhere else. So that's what you got to love, and, you know, God bless the USA. Nova will be back Wednesday. That's good news. Who knows what to expect. Wouldn't shock me if there was some rust. They actually had him do another rehab start because they didn't feel his curveball was where it should be. So he did do another start, and we need starting pitching, obviously, now. We need depth. We need someone who's going to eat some innings. Nova usually did bring that to the table. That's the problem, though. Look at all these guys. Evaldi's an innings eater. CeCe right now is pretty much as well. I mean, the Yankees really don't have any reason to, you know, go easy on CeCe. You're going to ride him like you ride Pettit, you know what I mean, until the wheels fall off. You want to be careful with Tanaka. You want to be careful with Pineda. And then Warren, he's just not – he's stretched out, obviously, because he's starting, but he's not a guy that you want to see, you know, consistently go over 110 pitches every game yet. So you got a lot of guys who you're watching. My thing was, this Evaldi guy is, to me, another one. He's up, he's down. I keep asking this question. How do you throw 99 miles per hour consistently and not be a household name? Something's wrong here. I don't know what it is. And maybe this guy just isn't a starter. This is his third team. You don't usually, again, like I said a few podcast episodes ago about Teixeira, how he had in the prime of his career, in 2 years, he played for four teams. And That was weird because Teixeira was actually good, and now this year he's still good. So Teixeira, when healthy, has always proved to be basically a star in the league. But this guy has been passed around. He throws 99. He's got incredible stuff. He eats the shit out of innings, and he gets rocked, and nobody seems to be able to figure out. I think that's why the teams take him, because the previous team doesn't know what to do with him. And a guy like Rothschild, pitching coach, he prides himself, and the Yankees pride themselves in having Rothschild, one of the best guys in the game, and they want to take it on. You know what? I bet I could fix this guy. It's like the freaking broaden the relationship. Sorry, I shouldn't say broad. It's like the woman in the relationship who's going to date the guy who she's really attracted to, but he's a mess and she's going to she's going to change him. It's like every pitching coach gets a load of Evaldi and they're going to change him. Maybe this guy just needs to be a freaking flamethrower out of the bullpen. Who knows? Maybe he could be a closer. A 99-mile-an-hour flamethrower. He's consistently at 97. He can dial it up to 90. I haven't seen him hit 100, I don't think, yet. Have you guys? I don't know if he's hit 100, but I've seen him hit 99 several times. Maybe that's just the guy that comes in after CC's throwing freaking 90 and 89 and, 91 and 82 for a freaking, for his other pitch, for his off-speed stuff. Bringing in Evaldi, even though you do lose a starting pitcher, pick up a proven starting pitcher, get Evaldi in the bullpen, you take care of two needs, you got Warren back there too, or maybe, maybe leave Warren as a starter now if Evaldi can. I know it's not going to happen, guys. I know it's not going to happen. Evaldi, in everybody's eyes, is still a starter. But I'm just saying, if this guy doesn't start to develop into a consistent 13 to 15 game winner with that kind of stuff, you got to start thinking maybe this guy is a bullpen guy. Maybe this guy is a game changer that comes in and just elevates and blows people away. The dog days of summer, at the end of the game, they just can't catch up to him. Whereas, versus starting in the first inning, letting him get tired, letting them get 3-4 chances to see him and getting a beat on that straight-ass freaking fastball that he's got. Something to think about, guys. What do you think? Evaldi in the bullpen? Write me. YankeesandGravy@gmail.com or Yankees and Gravy on Twitter. Yankees and Gravy. Yankee Gravy. Sorry, not Yankees and Gravy. Yankee Gravy on Facebook. What else do we got? Some baby bomber stuff. Some of the youngsters. Again, like I said, Bronx Pinstripes for a lot of the real in-depth stuff regarding who's what, who's good at what. I'm just kind of, like I said, just flying by the seat of my pants here as a very well-informed Yankee fan who follows them day to day. But I don't necessarily get too deep into the draft picks and the minor league system. There are other people out there that do that. But the notable ones I will kind of keep an eye on and give you my opinions on them. Aaron Judge. Judgment Day, getting closer, it looks like. Hopefully this guy's freaking good, because they've been talking about this guy for a little while now. And he was, last year, I think he was in single A. Then he came up to double A this year. And because of all the, because as I alluded to earlier, Joe Girardi managing his farm system like it's his actual bench and just, moving people in and out on an hourly basis, it seems. Judge is going to get the promotion to AAA, and that's that could be only because they need him up there, because of the fact that we're calling up all the outfielders and sending them down and sending them to the DL basically, or it could be because we need help and we got to start putting this guy on the fast track. I never understood why freaking these guys, they come out of college, you just played 4 years, especially if you're a pitcher. Played 4 years in college, and these college managers, they got to win. You know what I mean? Their jobs depend on it. They know they're not going to have you in 4 years. How much care do you think is being taken? And I'm sure there is a lot, but I'm saying if all things are equal and you need an extra inning out of a guy to win a game, and maybe he's a little spent and he's freaking 20 years old. You know what? If you don't have millions of dollars invested in him over the next 10 years and you're just a college coach trying to keep your job, you may send him out for that extra inning. So with that thought process, I'm just always wondering why it takes so long for these guys to go through the system. And I guess it's legitimate because it's the way they've always done it. And I kind of chalk it up to one of the reasons why you do love baseball. You know, you can't just come out of college and just be the big man on campus like you can in the NFL and the NBA. In baseball, it's such a cerebral game. It's such a confidence game. It's such a game of physical and mental maturity, position by position. You have to go through those levels, and you have to earn your way. You get drafted out of college, you still have to, you know, obviously there's occasions where they bring people up earlier, like the Trouts and the Harpers, Dwight Gooden, stuff like that, but you know, this guy Judge, he's looked at as the second coming. They're talking about saving Paul O'Neill's number 21 for him and not giving it to anybody else because he's the guy that should get it. Like, guys like this, I my knee-jerk reaction is to, you know, let's freaking get these guys through. Let's mow them through and see what they can do and get them up here, you know. Forget the confidence thing. These guys are big boys, you know. Like, so what? You're going to suck for a month. You're going to get struck out. You're going to get fooled, you know. If you know that going in, it can't fuck with your confidence too bad. You got to just tell yourself, you know, this was expected. These guys are not on any level that I've ever seen before. Let me see it as soon as possible. Let me get through. Let me take my lumps and let me freaking know they're coming and then work at it. And then within a month or two, I'll be 21 years old and a stud hitting dingers over the fence and freaking, you know, the short porch in Yankee Stadium right field. I don't know. I guess it's a good freaking thing I'm not in charge. Like, I say this like I know what the hell I'm talking about, but it's just, you know, my layman's observation. What's weird is all these guys that we're bringing up. So we first brought up Heathcott, then we brought up Flores, and then most recently Mason Williams. That Mason Williams kid, I don't know, man. He might have a little something. They were saying he was the guy who had a little few. He definitely had some injuries, but he also had some. I guess how would you say some, not disciplinary, but I guess work ethic / not off the field discipline stuff, but maybe like on the field, not always working as hard as he should, not being the guy who's like, you know, first in, last to leave type guy, maybe a little bit more, a guy who's a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more maybe acting like he's done something when he really hasn't. And between him getting knocked down to size and because, you know, I guess that stuff, you're in professional baseball now, that stuff is only going to go so far before it just, you know, backfires and, you know, you get humbled very quickly when you're dealing with, you know, professionals. And plus some injuries on top of that, he's come all the way back. And watching him play, while he did hit, his first hit was a home run, he doesn't necessarily profile as a power guy. But damn, he covers a lot of ground in that outfield. He's a good defensive player. He is a good contact hitter. He's a good guy on the base paths and this and that. And he does look like he's got a little bit of a star quality to him. He doesn't seem like, again, like I tell you guys, I'm, you know, not that I freaking came anywhere close to being a professional or anything sports-wise, but I just have a thing where I feel like I look at an athlete. I look at his eyes. I look at his mannerisms. I look at how he carries himself. And, you know, whether he's afraid of the big moment, I feel like I can kind of get a decent gauge. I'm not saying I'm 100% on, but, you know, you can get a decent gauge of, you know, what a guy is about by looking at him, just seeing how he kind of carries himself, how he talks to people, the respect level he has and commands for himself. And I feel like when I look at this guy, Mason Williams, I feel like there might be something there. We might be able to, I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar in the league, but we may have a, you know, we may have a guy, we may have an outfielder for 10 years in this guy. He might be a little, you know, I'm not going to say better than Judge, but he looks almost ready to kind of, ready for the big time a little bit. But the point of bringing up all those guys, they all got hurt. We brought them all up, they all got hurt. He does, and that's the thing about Williams. He does look a little brittle. He kind of see that it seems like from what you hear and what you see, it looks like that shoulder's ready to pop at any time. And then, you know, he's always going to be missing a couple of days there. It's just going to be something he's always going to have to deal with, which, hey, it's not that unusual. It happens. Who was this other guy? Ref Snyder. Everybody talks about. Everybody was really, really into this Ref Snyder guy in the beginning of the year because he can freaking bang. There's no doubt about the fact that this guy can hit. He hit 360 last year. He's hitting 310 this year after going through a miserable start. And so he must be tearing the cover off the ball lately. They say he's just not ready defensively. He just can't. He can't. He's not playing defense at second base on a level that they would feel comfortable at for a major league second baseman. And I meant to talk about Drew last week, but based on, I can't even say this anymore. I don't even know. Steven Drew, another one. Microcosm of the team. A complete friggin' enigma. Because I've been his worst critic, saying that this guy shouldn't be a major leaguer. And he shouldn't, how the hell, does he have naked pictures of Girardi banging a stripper or something? Because how is this guy still on the field? And a lot of people are still saying it. And the guy's still hitting freaking below 180. But This guy has a freaking flair for the dramatic. This guy has a, I think I did speak about this last podcast, but the guys are what, 9 or 10 home runs now? I mean, and their home runs, a lot of them are in big spots. He gets big spot hits. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Russell Martin was hitting like 198 at the end of the year. He's just doing a great job defensively as a catcher and would get some big home runs. Now, this guy's basically, now, defensively, second base isn't as important as a catcher. And you'll put up, if you get a superstar defensive catcher and a team leader and a guy who handles pitches well, you'll give a lot more in terms of. You want power out of your catcher, and Russell Martin did bring that. But from the average standpoint, batting average standpoint, you'll sacrifice a lot. They'll have a lot of rope. To work with. You'll give a lot of rope, leeway to a catcher who's all good in all other aspects of the game. Second baseman, you got to be able to have some speed. You got to be able to get on base. You got to be good defensively, but you got to be able to hit a little bit. You have to have be on base percentage guy. You have to have some runs scored. Now, Drew has freaking nine home runs and some big hits. Now, if that keeps coming, and this is a guy who you can put in, and you can have him, and you know you're going to get his best work when the game's on the line, I'm going to be interested to keep. I still think he's not at the major league level as far as somebody who should be playing every day second base based on his offensive prowess or lack thereof. But if he gets a couple more of these, you're going to have to say, you know what, this guy's got a little bit of a flair for the dramatic as well. And this guy's got a little bit of a thing where, you know what, he wants to be up in the last day. This guy may hit 177 all year, but you know what, that 177 turns into a 325, when there's a big spot. You know, I'm with you guys. I want him gone too. But if he does that a couple more times, you know, if he continues to prove that he can kind of, you know, relish the big moment, you know, this guy may be earning himself a job, to be honest with you. Getting back to Ref Snyder, he just needs to work on that defense, and it's apparent that he's our next second baseman if he can clean that defensive stuff up. You talk about, what's his name, Nunez. It's another guy, live bat. We had to get rid of him because he was just overwhelming defensive liability. Hopefully Ref Snyder is not going to go that route. They also say hitting-wise, while his average is high, they're saying if you analyze him, and this is, you know, hardcore baseball analytical stuff, he's hitting too many ground balls. I mean, I guess that's not too hardcore. That's just simple. They're just saying he's, for a major league level, he's getting a lot of base hits that are getting through in the minor league system that probably won't in the major leagues. And they're not saying that. They're just saying by the amount of ground balls and by past history statistics that the amount of ground balls he's hitting, even though a lot of them are hits, they're just on the ground, and at the major league level, they don't think those will be. Not as many of them will get through. We're running long here, I guess. I wanted to talk a little gravy. I'm gonna skip that. You know what? Let's not skip it. I wanted to just go over. I'm a slob. I like to eat. If there's food in front of me, I eat. I have a lot of trouble stopping eating. I like to say I carry it kind of well, you know, 6'1", about right now I'm over. I'm heaviest I've ever been. I'm about 260, but I gotta get a lot as, like, you don't necessarily look like an overly sloppy 260. I'm not trying to tell you I'm freaking, I'm not walking around like freaking Bryce Harper, but I, 260, you think 260, you think, ooh, slob, complete slob. I'm Doesn't matter. What am I getting into? I'm just a little overweight, and I enjoy myself some food. That's all I'm going to tell you. So whenever I go to Yankee Stadium, it's like you always want to kind of talk about the food options. And, you know, standing, it's a long time since it's just a hot dog and a beer or a hot dog and a soda at the game. These stadiums, and no better exemplified than Yankee Stadium of all the food options that you can have there. I'm just going to put out my favorite in order of favorite things to eat at Yankee Stadium. This is like literally gravy. But best thing you could eat at the stadium, and if you have a different opinion of me and you think something else, you're wrong. Because the best thing you could eat at Yankee Stadium is the garlic fries. For me, I don't get the cheese on them because cheese fries are a dime a dozen. But what they do with those fries, they toss them in that garlic, a little olive oil, a little butter, a little parsley, and then they just throw them all together. And those garlic fries are magical. What I also like is the Lobel's steak. It's just a simple steak sandwich. It's almost like a French dip, but it's the Lobel's steak. Just that sandwich is great. Third, I have to say, Brother Jimmy's, the barbecue spot. You know, whether you're getting a sandwich, whether you're getting pulled pork, whether you're getting some ribs or, you know, some of the hush puppies and the sides, Brother Jimmy's is third. Those are three options. Now, Citi Field has better options. Citi Field, I like Citi Field better than Yankee Stadium overall, but even with the food alone. So Citi Field just feels more like a ballpark. You know, that great hall that the Yankees have, it's like a stadium and a museum before you get into the stadium that has two museums already. Citi Field to me seems like more of like an old school, you know, old style ballpark. Yeah, they got a bunch of things that they're trying to hawk and freaking separate you from your money there as well, but not as bad as the Yankees. And yes, Citi Field has better food options, but just as a fan of the food, I'm just giving you my opinion on some of the things that, you know, some of the worthwhile eats at the stadiums. I mean, Citi Field, what do you got? You got the Shake Shack, definitely, that's a no-brainer. You got that taco spot, that's a no-brainer. And they got lobster rolls over there, too. Also, if you're there, check out McFadden's, the company I work for. Owns McFadden's, so it's a good time. It's a great pre- and post-game place. The food's great there. It's not next level, I'm saying. It's good food. I had the chicken sandwich. Just for what it's supposed to be, it's great. You're going to get good food there. But, you know, Shake Shack, come on. And lobster rolls and that taco place. There's some really good eating options at Citi Field. Good news is we started getting some letters, and that's exciting. Most notably, first is Tom. A guy named Tom emailed me. His name is Tom Elmer, and he is from the UK. Specifically, I don't know where he's from, but I did want to read his letter. He writes, "Hi, Tommy. This is just a line to say thanks for doing your great podcast. I really enjoy it. I'm a fan here in the UK, and like you, I've been surprised by how few Yankee podcasts there are. The only other good one I've found is Bronx Pinstripes, which you might like too. Like I was telling you before, Bronx Pinstripes, check them out. Again, do not get used to me plugging other podcasts. It's just something I'm not going to do. Call me an asshole, call me whatever you want. I'm not trying to be, but I'm just not going to do it. But while I probably got, you know, probably 29 listeners right now, hopefully when this thing blows up and I'm a conglomerate and I'm just the official voice of the Yankees worldwide, unmistakably, I'm not going to be promoting other people's podcasts. Obviously, I'm kidding. But all right, so Tom continues. My question, which maybe you might want to consider on the podcast, is this. From my perspective, as an iconic franchise, it seems to me the Yankees currently lack an identity and profile in the post-Jeter era and with the A-Rod shadow still cast over them. It seems to me the Yankees team needs a fresh identity, one, two, or three elite-level franchise players, one or two of the undisputed best players in baseball. This would be good for the Yanks and good for baseball, as so many people love them
and also love to hate them. It would also raise the profile of the game in the USA and worldwide. Personally, I love the idea of Bryce Harper signing when he hits free agency in a couple of years. He's high profile. People love him or hate him, and he grew up a Yankee fan. I'd love to know what you think about that, about the issue of the team's profile and identity. Thanks again. Keep it up. I really, really appreciate that, Tom. Thank you, and it's great to know that we're on the radar in the UK over there. Here's what I'm going to say quickly. The Yankees, since Don Mattingly came up in 1983, and maybe not so quickly, I guess, since I just freaking prefaced this whole thing with Don Mattingly in 1983 after this guy's asking a simple freaking question. 1983, Don Mattingly comes up. He's obviously a superstar prospect at that point. Within 1 year, 1984, he is competing with Dave Winfield for the batting title. It went down to the last day of the freaking season. Dave Winfield was my favorite player at the time. I'm like, who the hell is this Mattingly guy? But that year, 1984, Don Mattingly established himself as a team leader. Just the way he carried himself, the way he was, and his obvious superstar ability. He was a leader on this team. Now, he remained that leader. Now, his skill level, while it died out probably in 92, he had 5 years in which, that for those 5 years, he was the best player in Major League Baseball. And he was headed to the Hall of Fame and is sure at least one ring, you know. His back went out, as it's well documented, and he wasn't the same player. With his talent alone and his injuries, he still could hit you 13 to 15 home runs and always in that 300 range as far as batting average goes, and a very, very solid and reliable first base. So he wasn't the same player he was, but he kept going. But he still maintained what it meant to be a leader of the New York Yankees. He still was the captain. What happens in 95? Derek Jeter gets called up. I think he got called up earlier in the year for an injury, and then at the end of the year for the September call-ups. And if you listen to Derek Jeter, he tells you everything he learned about being a Yankee came from Don freaking Mattingly. And there was a Yankee way there. And Derek Jeter came up with the Yankee way. Well, he was – I mean, you got to remember him, Mariano, Jorge, these guys, Bernie a couple years ahead, before them. But they came up and they used the word posada. They used the word brainwashed. They were brainwashed, and it was entrenched in them what it means to be a Yankee. So now you have Jeter learning it in the minor leagues, then learning it when he gets here from Don Mattingly, and then taking what he learns and just enforcing that. Having a guy like Posada, who in his book he says, listen, Jeter said it and I did it. He was the enforcer. He put it out there, and they policed that locker room with class, with an intensity to win, an unselfishness, and it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing to watch. And that lasted until when? Last year. So you're talking about 1983 to last year, 1984 to 2014. You're talking about 30 friggin' years of having a central leader, a rock-solid example of what it is to be a Yankee, what it is to be a winner, how to conduct yourself with class on the field and off the field and on the field. And not only that, with the ability of a superstar. These guys were superstars. Nobody talks about the fact that for the first time in 30 years, we didn't have anybody anymore. It's over. And I'm not saying you have to have, you know, we were spoiled back then. We were spoiled. And then you put in the pieces like O'Neill. You put in the David Cones and, you know, Brocious and guys like that. Just good Girardi. Just good quality guys. Good pieces to the puzzle that complement this homegrown talent. We never had a plan to have somebody take that torch from Derek Jeter and run it for the next 10, 15, 20 years. That's a big deal, guys. We never did. And so I guess I'm taking a long time to answer Tom's question, but my answer is I agree with you. We are lacking an identity. And my answer as far as Bryce Harper goes, again, I think as a baseball player, he's as good if not better than those two guys. As a talent, he's as good if not better than those two guys. But as a leader and a mature guy and a guy who you want to get behind and rally around, he has not proven to me to be that guy. Now, having said that, I'm spoiled with these other guys. You don't get Don Mattingly's and Derek Jeter's all the time. Sometimes you have to, you know, settle for just a good team with a bunch of good talented guys that may not be the most likable guys, but you know what? They're going to get you close, at least keep you in the mix. You know, that's the reality. We got fucking lucky for 30 years, excuse my language, but we don't have it anymore. So if we got Bryce Harper, I think if you're a Yankee fan, I don't think you – I think you probably have to have your head examined if you're upset about that. I agree with that. But as far as the guy – now the natural one would have been Cano, but you could see he didn't have it. You know, I talk about looking a guy in the eye. Look at Cano in the eye. You know he don't have that fire, that intensity, that communication ability alone to be able to, you know, lead men, to lead a 24-man roster of men on and off the field into the battle and eventually to a World Series. So, again, the thing is, I think it would be great to get Bryce Harper. That's going to get back into, you know, I don't know if the Yankees have the stones to throw that much money at people anymore. I mean, I don't see us necessarily going crazy with the checkbook anymore like we used to. But for a guy like that, you might want to do it. The guy's a freaking animal. He's a beast. He's, you know, top two or three players in the game right now as we speak. Took him a while to get there. It's funny, he's only 22, but he's been playing since, what, 19? And they were like, you know, 2-3 years in, they're like, oh, this guy obviously is a good solid piece, but not what we thought he was going to be. It's crazy. Now he is. Oh, you know, he finally figured it out. The guy's 22 years old. The guy, most people aren't even still in the league yet. But, you know, it's crazy. So Bryce Harper really, really finding his rhythm. Good for him. And again, yes, I would love to have Bryce Harper. I am not a fan of always his antics and his, you know, hot-headedness and this and that. I'd like to see him handle himself with a little more class, as we've seen from these guys in the past. But yeah, you're not gonna complain about getting a Bryce Harper. I have one more, I think. Okay, this is from Evan Woodhouse in North Shore, Long Island. This team sometimes is hard to watch and usually hard to figure out. All you heard this year was how we didn't have the household names throughout the lineup like we did in the past, so we should lower our expectations. But besides the Blue Jays, we have the highest amount of runs in the major leagues. We go on unbelievable runs only to revert back to extended losing streaks. Are we going to get any pitching to support this? Are we going to get any pitching to support the runs we're scoring? Where do you see this team ending up? Is it worth getting my hopes up? Evan Woodhouse. Thank you for the email, Evan. I really appreciate it. The answer is, I'll go with the last question first. Is it worth getting my hopes up? The answer is yes. That's why we're here. We're Yankee fans. If we're in it, we can. Again, that's my creed. It is my God-given right as a Yankee fan to expect a World Series every year. That is one of the most smug-sounding things, and non-Yankee fans want to punch me in the face when I say that, but that's a badge of pride I wear because my team, the Yankees, are the most historically decorated team there is, and yes, that's how I feel, and that's the pride I have that we should every year expect. It's not meant to be egotistical, or it's not meant to be, you know, we're better than you type of thing, but you know what? We expect greatness, and there's not a year ever that I think we should ever be looking as like rebuilding or, you know, looking at as like, you know, all right, this is an off year. We should win. We're Yankee fans. We are the New York Yankees, and we should be in it every year. Well, back to your other questions. Evan, we go on unbelievable runs only to revert back to extended losing streaks. Yes, we've talked about that at length. It's very, very frustrating. Where do I see this team ending up? I see this team ending up, like I said, probably the same place I said it was going to end up, and fighting for, you know, when you're fighting for a division in the American League East, you're basically fighting for, it's like equivalent of a wild card, because it's probably going to be the division that whoever comes out of that division is going to have the worst record of all the other division leaders in the American League. So one kind of means the other. I'm still saying the same thing. The team is probably going to have 88 wins, and it probably will, as it is right now, and I'll say that, as it is right now, it will probably make the postseason. I would say because of this division and because we have talent and because We'll probably pick somebody else up. We probably will make the playoffs. Now, this team, we don't know what the hell is going to happen, which is why we have an old group of guys. It's in our best interest to stay as close as possible. Listen, the last podcast or the one before that, I wanted us to run away with it. We were all healthy. We were hitting our stride. We were 2.5, 3 games up, and I wanted us to make a statement. And freaking, but what happened? I was wrong. We went on another freaking losing streak, and this is just what, until they prove otherwise, this is what this team is going to be. Up, down, up, down, up, down. And when that, until they prove otherwise, you're just going to say, I'm going to say, let's stay close, and let's get ourselves into the playoffs, let's have guys rested, and let's go into the playoffs as strong as possible. That's just the way this team looks. The old guys, Tex is going to be hurt. It's going to happen again. A-Rod is going to pull a hamstring. You know that. Something's going to happen with him. You know, one of these pitches, two of these pitches may even go down. Who knows? And we are going to have to conserve. We're going to have to watch innings. And we're going to have to sacrifice some wins earlier in the year to stay afloat. And then, of course, when the playoffs start, you're throwing everybody out there. And you're going to make your run. And what the hell is going to happen? We're going to freaking lose in the division. We're going to win the wild card round if we make it. And we're going to lose in the division round like we have been for a long time now, except for that 1 year in 2009 where we – I mean, that year, we can't. You can't argue with the fact that – we bought a World Series that year. And I'm not apologizing for it. I'm fine with it. But that is what happened. We bought the World Series that year, and it worked out. All right. That was a long one, I guess, right? Either way, please, again, guys, Facebook, Yankee Gravy. It's a friend page. Find Yankee Gravy. Friend me. I'm in. I want to get this going. If you want to write me directly via email, it's yankeesandgravy@gmail.com. On Twitter, it is at Yankees and Gravy on Twitter. Thank you again so much for listening. I appreciate it. Please share. Please rate. Please comment. Please, you know, curse me out. Let's just have some fun with this thing. And once again, Bronx Pinstripes, check those guys out too. They're doing a great job over there. Appreciate it again. Take care, fellas and ladies.